Good evening. It's 7 o'clock. We're here again. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm Carol Murphy. Hey, you know what? It's Valentine's Day. And just especially for y'all on Valentine's Day, we have John and Cassie Wick here. I think you're officially the Butte Lovebirds.
Thank you.
I was thinking about that on my way over here today. I was like, wow, it's really an honor to have you guys here because you're Butte icons in many ways, both because you're entrepreneurs and you're quite the couple.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
I've been called four-letter words a lot, but icon is not one. So thank you.
Yeah, we had some four-letter words a little earlier today, which, you know, we're not going to go down that road. But anyway, it will be a fun show. We'll be right back, and we'll be with John and Cassie Wick. Thanks. You and me.
Out on them ramble, and I follow my footsteps to the sparkling sands of a diamond dance, and all around me a voice will sound. This land was made for you and me.
So this is Heartstock Radio. So John and Cassie, I've been waiting for a long time for this evening, and I'm really excited. Tell everybody, first of all, a little bit about yourselves individually, and then I'm hoping you can tell us how you met and fell in love, because it is Valentine's Day, of course.
Well, I'll let Cass take the how we met story. She's far more eloquent on that end of things than I am, I think. But I can kind of start and introduce myself a little bit. I was born and raised in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And
just in case you're wondering, this is John.
So yeah, I'm a Midwestern boy at heart. Ended up going to college at the University of Northern Iowa, graduated with an elementary education degree. And in another life, I was a fifth grade teacher. And that's what brought me out to Montana. I taught fifth grade and coached the football team, a basketball team over in Phillipsburg. And that's, yeah, that got me to the mountains and the adventure that we're currently on. I guess that's kind of a segue because we met up at Georgetown Lake. I don't know if you want to take over from there, but that's...
that's very romantic.
It's pretty romantic. So I'm Cassie, and I actually grew up in Whitehall, so not close, or very close to Butte, and my parents grew up in Butte. And so growing up in Whitehall, you were always like, I'm never going to live in Butte. And then...
Okay, you know, that's a story in and of itself, so we're not going to diverge.
Just, you know, you wanted to see things and go places. And so I went to college in Bozeman and got a degree in health and human development. And then I went to the AmeriCorps in Florida for a year. And that was just a really phenomenal experience for me and just very life-changing. And so then kind of leading into us meeting, I came back to Butte and got a job as a case manager for people with developmental disabilities. And that's how I fell in love with working with people with disabilities, which I am extremely passionate about. And I feel so lucky that I get to do that for a living. So I currently am working at Montana Independent Living Project, which is a resource and advocacy center for people with disabilities. So I love that. And I've been there for 8 years. And I'm constantly trying to work with our local government on trying to make things better for people with disabilities in our community, starting with shoveling the sidewalks. So after I was finished with the AmeriCorps, I came back to Butte. And my mom... Our family has a place up at Georgetown Lake, and a neighbor up at that lake is also from Whitehall, and her daughter taught with John in Phillipsburg. And so my mom was at school, and she said, are you going to the lake this weekend? And my mom's like, yeah. And she goes, ooh, we have a hunk staying at our cabin. And I was like, my mom is like, ooh, Cassie's coming home. So she was really excited. And so we met. I saw him. He had heard about me, and I had heard about him. We ended up meeting. And so the first day I was like, well, do you want to come to the fire and have a beer? And he thought it would be like me and him. But it was my whole family, my aunt, uncle, cousins, grandma, like all the people. And I was just like, welcome. So
I can only imagine the fifth degree. Did they quiz you, John?
No, to their credit, it was pretty comfortable. It was not at all what I expected, obviously, however. But yeah, I kind of walked. I still remember this like, I took one extra step and I was like, oh no, I just committed. I think I've been seen. So I couldn't turn around at that point. So I said, the worst case scenario, I have a few beers and enjoy a campfire.
Yeah.
So
And so after that night, he actually left and I didn't really see him again for the remainder of the weekend. It was a long weekend. And so I went to say goodbye to the people from Whitehall, which I never typically did. And I was like, hey, see you later. And he was just like, yeah, cool. See you next weekend. But it was the end of the summer. And I was like, probably not. And then I left. And so it was awkward.
And to my credit, the culture that the lake culture that I grew up in the Midwest, we don't close our cabins down at the end of the summer. That's a more of a year round thing. So I assumed that like that's kind of how it is. Not the case. So yeah, she had a different kind of approach.
Did you have to track her down? Like start?
I did.
Door to door. Yeah. Have you seen this girl?
I got a call from my mom the next week, and she's like, "Mrs. Hansen just called for your phone number. I think he's gonna call you." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And so he did, and I went back to meet him at the lake, which at that time now it was snowing up there, and I had never been to the lake at that time of year. And really since then, we didn't have any real mutual friends and we feel extremely lucky that we met each other and then, have just really built a really strong relationship from just such a chance meeting.
So at that chance meeting, did you know initially that you both shared similar passions? Because I think in order to take on all the things that you have to be very passionate. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that.
I actually didn't know anything about Cass. I was actually out in my kayak when I first saw you. And that was good enough for me if you're going to hang out at Georgetown Lake. But the one thing that kind of came to mind was this small town Montana girl wants to go out and experience, go to like the AmeriCorps in Florida. And so... So that was kind of the first telltale sign where I could probably hang out with you for a little while.
And I think it was just it's always been really easy. And so I think for me, when I think of our relationship, I'll hear people talk about how hard things are sometimes. But really overall, and going into this business venture together, we get along really well. And we also know our limits. So if we have to take a time out from things, we just say it. So it's like, hey, we need 10 minutes and maybe let's not talk about any of those things for a while. But he has been amazing for me too, because I grew up in Montana, but I hadn't really experienced Montana like you do when you move to Montana. And so I didn't ski growing up. I didn't do all that adventuring. And then when I met him, we did. I was just like, I mean, I guess if I'm going to be hanging out with him, I better learn how to ski and like do all these things. And so mutually, I think we've balanced each other a lot over time.
So let's journey on to that story and the founding of your company. And you just touched on, I think, a very important subject that I want to delve into more. It's like, well, when you have conflict or, you know, differences of opinion, I think it's really important that you have a system in place. So first, tell us that story of how you decided to found 5518, what it is, and take us on that journey.
So I think I'll start for just a second, because 5518 is technically John started that with my support. But John and I taught English in South Korea for a year. And when we were there, he blogged our experience every single week. And he was faithful. He let me be the guest writer once, because that's as much as I could handle. But I mean, every week he wrote about it. And while we were there, he started designing trail maps for Butte, because he's like, there's nothing like this here. And this was 9 years ago. So at that time, like the internet was obviously around, but there wasn't always the resources you were looking for. So from Korea, he started putting together these hiking trails and this guidebook, which he lovingly called Quick Guides, Q-Wic. And that kind of started like between the writing and doing that, like that kind of started, I think, him on this vision of like, I think there's a gap in Butte because we're going to go back there. And so when we returned, he had thought about going to school in Bozeman for graphic design. And then we learned about the PTC program up at Montana Tech, the Professional and Technical Communication program. And so it was so easy for him to just start doing it there. And that really kind of founded everything.
Yeah, I'll always remember when when we came back and I was kind of bumping around the school, substitute teaching, trying to get our feet back underneath us. And I was kind of like, you know, I'm not totally sure if teaching is going to be what's going on for me. Now what? Right? And fill in the blank. And Cass was kind of like, and I won't forget it. She was like, you loved to write. You took photos. You're good at it. Like, people do that. That's a thing. Like, do that. You enjoy it. And that's where the light bulb kind of went on. And that's when I started looking into programs and trying to like actually get a foundation for that kind of skill set. And I met Chad Oakrish up at Montana Tech. He was the department head at the PTC, in the PTC department there. 2 days later, I was attending my first graduate class. And that's kind of how that started. And I really had no idea how it was going to pan out. I just knew that this was an option and I wanted to explore it. And that's how we started. Through that program, I started to, my project was to kind of rebrand the Butte 100 mountain bike race. And through that, once kind of the word got out, oh, Wick's doing this stuff and he can do this. And I had some friends kind of come to me and say, oh, can you throw together a flyer? Can you put together a logo for me? And towards the end of graduate school, I kind of looked at it. I was like, geez, I feel like I should charge people like for this work. This is a job. So yeah. And as silly as it sounds, I'm like, well, if I'm going to charge people, I better get a business license. I better try to figure that out. And so I went up to the courthouse, thinking I would just like, here's my $35. And I get a business license. I got an application for a business license and took it home. And I started filling out like name, John Wick, business name. And I was like, oh man, I didn't even think what I'm going to call this thing. So I had gone for a mountain bike ride earlier that day and my GPS unit was sitting on my desk and it said elevation 5518. And so I was like, well, I looked over there and that's good enough. Slap designs on the end of it and I can change it if I have to. And that's kind of where that those four random numbers come from.
It's kind of a funny story. Stuck.
Yeah.
And it's still really hard for people like, what's the name of that store? Like, whatever you call it, just send people there. Yeah.
So when did the idea and the vision for a store evolve from the graphic design?
So the business started in 2012 as a graphic design business. And then two Christmases ago, John decided to put 5518 on a hat. And he sold them to a couple friends. And then before Christmas, he had started doing the Simple Places designs, which are kind of his style of art. And so we made some more hats and kind of just sold them like that. And then, you know, forever we were just looking at people leaving town to go shopping, which we understand. You can't get everything you want here. But we thought, God, if we could, you know, there's people making t-shirts all over, you know, that are Bozeman and Missoula and all that stuff. It's like, Butte doesn't really have that right now. And so maybe that's something we could try. So in the summer, he started doing some designs and we decided to do the farmer's market. And so we faithfully went every Saturday that summer and did it. And it was much more lucrative than we had anticipated.
It was so much fun though.
We were having the most fun. Like we get to see everybody, everyone's happy at the farmer's market. And the more we were sitting there, we had also been kind of looking at Main Street and just feeling sad about Main Street and how there was so many gaps in business there. And I was just like, God, I wish somebody would do something like in those spaces. And we just kind of looked at each other that summer and we're like, I mean, I guess we could do something. We had just never anticipated it, but it was so, it just felt so natural and easy to move into that. And we knew that, I mean, I love observing people and what people like. And so doing his shirts, he was going to do the designs and the shirts, and then we could kind of make up a store together. And so that's kind of how that evolution happened.
And it's been really organic. You know, like we never started graphic design with the intention of opening a business or expanding into retail. I'll never forget some of the first clients that I was working with. Thankfully, thanks all you guys. I was in my extra bedroom and it was just a dim light and, you know, dim desk light. And I couldn't back up all the way because I would hit the bed, you know. And it was one of those stories where, like, you hear about starting in a closet in the garage or something. We were real similar. And the more work we put out and had pride in that I thought was good, and the more people that we helped, it kind of kept snowballing. And yeah, we looked at each other one day and we were like, I guess we do this. Like, we would love to help do something about what people complain about. So we were in that position.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to take a quick break here, but before we leave for a moment, explain for our listeners who are not familiar with 5518 the type of goods that you have and where they come from.
So we're an outdoor lifestyle retailer is kind of the official word that we use. We design in-house. We design all of our own apparel, get it screen printed and embroidered locally as well. And we've expanded into, it would take a lot of t-shirts to fill up a whole store. So we brought in Dakin backpacks, Mizu water bottles, some greeting card companies, and a handful of local vendors as well. So we've gone from basically a t-shirt hat apparel company to a full-on gift store where you can kind of celebrate shared experiences of being outside.
Well, and as two people that are not shoppers, that was one thing that was like kind of conflicting for us because we are not into a ton of things ourselves. So our whole goal was to get things that people would use to go have fun and go adventure with, because we really wanted people to be able to celebrate things that are local, but also things that get you outside and enjoying what's around us.
Yeah. That totally completely changed my life. And one of my biggest motivations for moving back here was being so close to all of that. It's just like, oh my gosh, I'm sure 5 minutes away from heaven.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be right back with John and Cassie Wick. This is Heartstock Radio. I'm Carol Murphy, and we have lovebirds in the studio this evening. It's John and Cassie Wick. The first thing that I'm hoping you can share with our listeners, and I'm really curious too, what's it like working together? I've heard, all the stories of, oh my gosh, yeah, knockdown, drag out fights, nearing. You know, they call them divorce boats. Well, this would be like the divorce business, the divorce job. What's it like?
I think if we stay fed and watered, I think we're pretty good.
Yeah. So the first time John and I ever lived together was in Korea. We had not lived together in the U.S. And then we moved to a country where it was a very different culture. And so our friends there were like, wow, you guys, like most people come over together, but they do not go home together. And so I think I felt like, after that experience, like, I think we know that we have a very solid base. And then in 2014, John was diagnosed with cancer. And so that is something when you're 33 years old to go through as a couple is like, what? Like, we have had, you know, we've barely been married. Like, this is really heavy. And so to go through something like that together, I think just really helps you put into perspective what matters. And so we, of course, will annoy each other, absolutely. But at the end of the day, we always know what matters and what's worth getting upset about, and it's very few things. And so we definitely will be like, don't talk to me right now about that, or that's too much, or a lot of times we just say it, like, let's take a time out. And we're very lucky, I think, to have this solid base to be able to say that to one another and to, and I don't work there all the time.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would add is that we're not sitting across the same desk 8 hours during the day and then we go home together at night. It's a little bit of a unique situation where she has a full-time job herself. And so we meet up and our paths cross on top of 5518. And it's a fantastic kind of complement skill set that we've kind of navigated and figured out where I'm there during the day. In the morning, I'm designing for clients. We open up the retail in the afternoon and I do my best. And, you know, she comes in as much as she can and takes care of a lot of the ordering and a handful of the departments where that's not my forte. And it's perfect because without either one of us, that shop couldn't work. And it just is kind of like this great marriage of skill sets and style and grace. Mm-hmm. So,
how did you figure out that divvying up of the work? Was it an intuitive thing, or did you sit down with, you know, like a spreadsheet?
No, it was definitely more of an intuitive thing. I was just like, I hate to even think about the t-shirts. Like, show me the designs. Like, I must approve them. Like, that is a must. But I will take care of all the other items. And it works really, really well. Obviously, like, we run things by one another, but we just have an understanding. And, like, so when I do go in the shop, I'm constantly, like, the elf that's like, this is out of order and this is out of order. And, like, I just, like, straighten everything up. And I'm like, okay, remember, you guys, you have to wash the windows sometimes. So I'm, like, and it's funny because I'm not always the detail person, like, in my usual life. So there, I'm, like, more anal than I've ever been. But I really want people to have a good experience when they come there. And he, of course, does too, but he's so busy. And so if I'm like, hey, do this, he's like, I am so busy today. Like, stop asking me to do everything.
And we're both very cognizant of, like, the, I guess for lack of a better term, like, the messaging that we put out into the world. You know, our canvas is a little different than what a lot of other people think. You guys have audio. We have t-shirts. We have apparel. And we have other companies that are consistent with what we want to project into the world and how we say that. So it's cool that, like, we both get that. We're on the same page. And with what we design in-house, the companies that come in to complement what we are already doing in-house really kind of feed off each other and help each other. So it's being on the same page with, like, our mission and our messaging and our graphics and all that other, you know, 9 yards worth of stuff. That's a big thing because there's a lot of moving pieces. Just in this one little boutique store that we've got in town, without that, like, consistency of what we want to project out in the world, we'd have a lot of conflicting things happening. And really, we're pretty solid on that front.
And, you know, I can say that that's working for you because when I walk through the door of your store, there's a vibe there. And I don't know if I'm thinking that you know that and that you've worked hard to achieve that. And as soon as you walk through the door of your store, it's a lovely vibe. It really is. It's very welcoming and it's a vibe that makes you want to come back. So it works.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah. That's what we were definitely going for. And I think that we also felt we feel very strongly that when someone enters there, whether they're new to town or visiting, that we get to be their greeting committee and we get to sell this community for the reasons that we know it's so beautiful. And there's a ton and we don't know everything, but to be a friendly face when someone's new to town and be like, hey, welcome. Like, we live in the middle of the most wonderful place and these are all the things to love about it. And also, do you know anyone? And can we hook you up with things? And I think just being able to be a greeting community and a support to people has been so fun. And then summer, this was our first summer, and we had the most fun having people come from all over. And yeah, just good feedback from people.
And we work hard on the vibe and creating, at least, like, through our social media accounts on Instagram and Facebook, we really try to create a community around us to kind of complement the bigger community that we're a part of. So it's an ongoing process, and we're always trying to celebrate people wearing our stuff or doing cool things or just being all around awesome. And that's kind of you know, the vibe we want to put out.
Mm-hmm. So advice for couples, you know, I run into, and in fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a husband and wife counseling team. They actually counsel couples who are in business together. So I'd like to hear, your version of that spiel, you know, is that your advice?
First of all, I just want to say you have a lovely radio voice. I really, really like it.
Thank you.
But we talked about this earlier. We went and were eating something and kind of going over the questions. And I was like, boy, I do not like to give advice to anyone. So, I mean, I do think the most important thing is really being able to identify that if you're about to escalate something, that you really need to say, hey, I think that this is not a good time to talk about this. And like, if we can just take a break and come back to this, we're going to be a lot better off. And I think we have done a really good job of that. We don't yell at each other or, you know, get in fights. We really just recognize like, hey, time out, and call it when it needs to be called. But I mean, for me, having another job is really important. So I've been at my full-time job for 8 years and I love that job. And it allows me to serve other people, but I could also tell that I've been there for 8 years and that I needed to feed another part of myself. And the store has really helped me be able to do that stuff. So I love the balance that I have. And so for him being there all the time, I am like always looking to him like, okay, did you get enough exercise? Are you doing like all the other things that are good for you? Cause you're at the shop all the time. So I think just kind of that self-evaluation of how do I take care of me? Yeah, so that I am the best.
One thing that I don't think that those fights and things like that are necessarily a bad thing. You know, like when I flip a design past our quality control, i.e. her, and she doesn't like it, and you're specific about that and things like that. And you know, like for me, for the designer, you pour your heart and soul into this, and you're like, I got it really nailed in. And then
you love it.
And I love it. And I think I just nailed it. And then it gets picked apart. It does hurt. But the fact that it's okay, I'm getting to the punchline. The fact that I need to keep in mind, and it's one of my challenges that I'm always trying to work on, is the fact that like the end product is going to be so much more better than if I hadn't done that and if we hadn't had the disagreement. And so it's... Yeah, I mean the disagreements and the fights and things, as long as we keep the big picture in mind, we're all usually better because of it. Usually? We're better because of it, sure.
This land was made for you and me.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5 Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via live stream at ButteAmericaRadio.org. Skyway,
a soul below that golden band. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and ran. And I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of a diamond dance. And all around me, a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me. Oh, when the sun came shining and I was strolling and the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling as the fog was lifting, our voice was chanting. This land was made for you and me.